Take your Bibles tonight. We're going to look in Exodus chapter 9. The contest of wills continue. The contest between Satan, the old behind Pharaoh, and the Lord of heaven. And so Satan was using Pharaoh. And now the Bible says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But let me tell you how that happens. God doesn't have to come in and make our hearts hard. He just takes a step back from us, from helping us, and it automatically goes hard. Because God has to touch us, or we, if we're not careful, we'll go down the rabbit hole quickly. And so it's the one member. The Lord puts a hedge about us. And so he protects us from dying. He puts a hedge about us and tells Satan, no, you cannot have them. And that's why we're still alive today, is because God's got a date, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. God's assigned a date for every one of us in this room. And he will not allow Satan to destroy our body until that date. Now, notice if you would in the outline, Roman numeral 1, God brought a disease called a murrain in Scripture on most animals in Egypt, and they died, but Pharaoh remained stubborn. Look with me if you would. A in the outline, Moses asked again Pharaoh to let Israel go. The issue was, let my people go 3 days away so they can offer a sacrifice and worship me. And Pharaoh was going to lose about 600,000 slaves. And he didn't want to. He was building his cities with those slaves. Free labor. Notice if you would. Then A in the outline, Moses asked Pharaoh to let Israel go, or God would send a plague on the animals of Egypt. Look in chapter 9, verse 2. For if thou refuse to let them go and will hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field. Now keep that, make note of that. That's important. And upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, upon the sheep. And there shall be a very grievous murrain or plague. And the plague hit the cattle and they just died. The plague hit. Now, a cattle is mentioned, but it hit all the animals in the field. So notice if you would be, Pharaoh refused to respond. So notice what happens. Verse 4. Now, this is something new. God is beginning to separate Israel from Egypt's plagues. So all the plagues are going to hit every animal in Egypt that's outside, not put up in a shed or a barn or in their house. And every animal in Goshen is going to be untouched. So the plague is going to have a definite line that it cannot cross. And it's to make sure Pharaoh understands that God is in it. So notice if you would, verse 4, and the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. And there shall nothing die of all that is in the children of Israel's. Now, watch this. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in thine hand. This is the third time the Lord says, tomorrow. Pharaoh said, when do you want me to get rid of this one plague? And all the flies, he said, tomorrow. The frogs said, when do you want me to get rid of the frogs? Tomorrow. Nobody in their right mind waits another day, but he was stubborn. So then God says, okay, tomorrow I'll do this. And now he says, tomorrow. So you've got 24 hours to decide. And there was no response. So you'll notice, verse number 6, and the Lord did that thing on the morrow, because Pharaoh didn't say a word. I think he didn't believe it. So notice if you would. See, however, not one. Wait a minute, back up. B, Pharaoh refused to respond. And the plague came and killed all the cattle, horses, oxen, and sheep in the fields. So if you can imagine the horror of rich men losing it all in one night because their Pharaoh would not say, you can go. So notice, C, however, not one of Israel's cattle or animals died. God made it clear who he was rebuking in the plague. Not Israel, all of Egypt. And then notice D in the outline. Pharaoh sent to see if Israel's cattle died by the plague. He didn't believe this was still of God. And so keep in mind, if somebody said to me tomorrow at this time, if you don't respond, every animal in Loudoun County is going to die. Only Loudoun County. And all of a sudden they all died tomorrow. I wouldn't have to go to Fairfax to find out if it happened there. I mean, just enough to see them all die in one area. Be, wow, God did this. Well, notice, if you would, look in verse 7. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. The heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he would not let the people go. So he checks, he realizes it is of God, and says it doesn't make any difference. Then notice, if you would, E in the outline, Pharaoh again hardened his heart and refused to let Israel go. And then notice, if you would, Roman numeral 2. God then sends malady number 6 to Israel. I mean to Egypt for Israel's sake. Roman numeral 2, God sent blistering boils upon all the Egyptians and the remaining animals. It was animals and people. And notice, if you would, verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Moses and to Aaron, take you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. Now keep in mind, Pharaoh doesn't say one thing when all the cattle die. You would think that he would at least say, look, would you just give me 24 hours, let me think about it. You would think he would acknowledge it. He said nothing. Stubborn as a rock. And so he says nothing. So then Moses goes out and he gets ashes from the pile of a furnace that's there. And he takes the ashes and he does this as he points them toward heaven. Throws them up in the air, and as they fall, all of a sudden now boils fall on everybody. So notice what happens. Take, verse 8. Take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven. In the sight of Pharaoh. So sprinkling toward heaven, so that Pharaoh can see what you're doing. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains. That's blisters and running. Anybody ever had a blister on your foot? And your heel maybe? And boy, when you get that, it's really hard to get around. You know what I'm talking about? Can you imagine blisters all over your body, your face, everywhere? I don't know about you, but I'd be thinking about murdering the Pharaoh about now. At least to that, going up and talking to him. And, you know, look, come on, look at what you've done to us. Now let those people go. Well, notice, if you would, in verse 10. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blands upon man and upon beast. Verse 11. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. They were hurting too badly. They couldn't do their job. Their job was to stand before Pharaoh and answer his questions, and they couldn't do it. For the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. So everybody's got these running boils that are just making clothing uncomfortable, sandals uncomfortable. They're just miserable. And notice, if you would, verse 12, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. In other words, he took a step back and said, Pharaoh, what's your answer? But God did not help him. And his heart, he hardened his heart. And he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. Now follow with me. Notice A in the outline. Moses took the ashes of a furnace and dropped them into the air, and boils broke out in Egypt on everyone, including magicians. And it was so bad they couldn't stand before Pharaoh. We just read that. So if you can imagine now, this is the sixth time Moses has walked into Pharaoh, and the leadership, the magicians and other people have said, it's Moses again. And all of a sudden something terrible happens in all of Egypt. I would die if I heard Moses is coming. And eventually they did. Notice, if you would, be in the outline. Pharaoh still refused to let Israel go. So he's enduring the pain. He's enduring the financial loss. He's enduring the suffering of his people. And he still will not let the people of Israel go. So notice, Roman numeral 3. Then God commanded Moses to send thunder, fire, and hail on Egypt. Now, how many of you have ever been in Texas? They're very frequent. A thunderstorm will hit. I mean, lightning flash across the sky because it gets 100 degrees and then it'll hit another cloud that's 60 degrees or 50 degrees in the upper atmosphere. And all of a sudden, these huge thunderstorms happen. And I've heard thunder hit so much that it's literally frightening because it's right there. It just scares you. The ground shakes a little bit. And the thunder is so loud, you just say, oh my, that lightning strike was close. That lightning snap was close. Well, notice what happens. A in the outline. Now listen to this. I like this about the Lord. This is good for us to learn. God willingly gave the Egyptians mercy if they believed his word and put up their animals. Now let's look at chapter 9, verse 18. Behold, tomorrow, about this time, now watch, in verse 13, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. That's why God brought these plagues. Yes, it was to correct him. But it was more so that they would know the power of the God of heaven. He is unlike all of their false gods. God is making himself known, and that's why these plagues are happening. So notice, if you would, and he's trying to change Pharaoh's heart. But notice, in verse number 16, and in very deed, for this cause, have I raised thee up. So God uses the wicked and the righteous in his plan. You might say, why is it? Now, I'm going to give you a scenario. God has to get the world to feel sorry for Israel enough to make them their own nation. 1948, that happened. What did God allow that caused the world to rise up and allow Israel to become a nation again? Ken? The Holocaust. He used a man called Hitler to murder 6 million Jews to cause the world to say, this was horrible. Let's make Israel their own country. Now, that's a part of the promise of God, Scripture. God uses all of us, but he uses Christians for good. But he uses sinners also for the good of his people and for the accomplishment of his word. So understand, Pharaoh is being used. Now let's read it again. Notice verse 16. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. I want the whole world to know that my man, Moses and Aaron, speak, do something, and I will answer. I'm a prayer-answering God. I want the world to know that. I want the world to know that I support my people. They're going to leave Egypt one way or another. You're going to give in one way or another. And number three, I want to make sure they're free of slavery from you. And so understand, God has got this plan and he's using these so the whole world fears or respects the God of the Israelites. Now, notice if you would with me, look in Rome numeral 3, A, he says, look, let's go to verse 19. Behold, tomorrow. He said, I'm using you. Now, tomorrow, the sixth thing is going to happen. He doesn't say six, but everybody's got fingers. They can count. They know it's number six coming. So notice verse 19, verse 18. Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation of even until now. It's going to be the biggest hail and the worst hail you've ever seen. Now, how many have ever seen cars that were in a hailstorm and you've seen the divots all over those cars? Have you ever seen that? Okay. Well, there have been hailstones that have come through the glass in cars. Baseball size hail. They just come through the windshield. And so understand, he said, I'm going to send hail, thunder, and fire from heaven, lightning and fire. It's going to hit the ground, start fires. I'm going to send that, and you're going to see my power. But he said, notice verse 19. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle, all that thou hast in the field. For upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field shall not be brought home. For the hail shall come down upon them, they shall die. God gives mercy. He says, look, I've already killed all your cattle that were in the field last time. You had some put up, and now they're out grazing, I'm telling you. So you don't lose everything. Go get your cattle in. You get out of the field. Every man, every animal in the field, when I start tomorrow, is going to die. Now, the Lord gives mercy. He's not interested in total judgment until we totally reject him. He wants to save people. He wants to bring people to the position of salvation. He wants them to know they need a Savior. He sent his Son to die for them. So the Lord is not interested in us perish. The Lord is not willing that any should die, but that all should come to repentance. So the Lord is interested in saving people, but if we're stubborn, there's nothing he can do. Listen very carefully. There's one thing God will not do. He will not make us do right. He will not make someone change their mind. We are a people, as humans, of free choice. He will not make somebody be saved, but he wants everyone to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, it's an open invitation to everybody in the world. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He wants to save everybody, but he will not force salvation on anybody. And he will not force a person to do what's right. He won't force you to do wrong, and he won't force you to do right. That's one thing God will not do. Now, my mom didn't force me to do right or do wrong, but she forced me to wish I had done right and done wrong. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, so you might get forced to wish you hadn't done it, and that's what's happening with Pharaoh. Now, follow with me if you would in the outline. A, God willingly gave the Egyptians mercy if they believed his word and put up their animals. So tomorrow, if you put up your animals, they'll all be saved. Okay? B, God sent Moses to rebuke Pharaoh for exalting himself. Look at verse 17. As yet, exalt thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. So when we get prideful and stubborn and don't do the will of God, God looks at it like you're exalting yourself above my will. That's what happened. So notice, if you would, see in the outline, again, Israel and their land was spared any harm. Look at verse 26. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. So all the animals, all the people in the field were spared. Now then notice D in the outline. Pharaoh appeared to break and said Israel could go. Look in verse 27. And Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous. I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough. It looks like he changes his mind and repents. Now watch. That there be no more mighty thunderings and hail. So the thunderings scared Pharaoh to repentance of sorts. Now watch. And I will let you go and you shall stay longer. That sounds like everything has changed in his heart. How many of you have had your children say, I'm sorry, when you caught them doing something? They didn't want to be in trouble anymore. Well, that's what's happened here. Now follow with me. E in the outline. But the moment the thunder and hail and fire ceased, he hardened his heart. Even the Egyptians changed their minds too. Look at verse 34. This is amazing to me. Verse 33. Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh, spread abroad his hands unto the Lord, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And the thunderings and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. So it's been thundering and lightning and fire coming down and hail and rain. And he goes outside and raises up his hand and said, okay, Lord, please stop it. And he does. Verse 34. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunderings were ceased, he sinned yet more. And hardened his heart, and he and his servants. Now this time it says he hardened his heart. It was the time when he repented, but he hardened it back again. And so understand, we always are the ones that harden our hearts. And I know this said the Lord hardened his heart, but the way the Lord does that by stepping back and let us make our decision. He's trying to get us to make the decision. Now Pharaoh makes a decision and God steps back and says, praise the Lord, that's wonderful. And then Pharaoh changes his mind the second it stops. So you'll notice, if you would, it's not just him though. This is the amazing one to me. Notice, if you would, yet more and hardened his heart, verse 34, he and his servants. So the magician said, hey, the hail stopped. The rain stopped, the thundering stopped. Don't let them go. Now, between you and me, if this had happened 6 times in a row, you know God's not giving up. So why would they say, stop, don't let them go? Even the people of the land. Let me just explain this to you. That tells you the power of leadership. That tells you the power of a godly father, godly mother. You have power that your children can follow suit. There are times whenever people lead wrong and people follow. They lead right and people follow. And so in a family, if a husband says, I'm going to do what's right. The Philippian jailer, he's in charge of the jail. But he gets saved in the jail whenever the jail is shaken by an earthquake. And he gets down on his knees and says, Paul, what must I do to be saved? And he says, believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. And so he trusts Christ and they take him home and his whole family gets saved. Why? They saw something in their father that night that was different. And they said, we want that. The whole family got saved. The power of leadership. Everybody in this room that's in charge of a family, a husband, wife, older brother, you have great power by example. And I just encourage you to take a look at this. It's amazing to me that it states when the thunderings and the lightnings and the hail and rain stopped, Pharaoh changed his mind and his people. So tonight, let's learn the lesson that what decisions you make affect other people mightily so. Now, notice if you would. E in the outline. But the moment the thundering hail and fire ceased, you got that one. Look at Roman numeral 4. All of us can be like Pharaoh and his people. We can harden our hearts when God is trying to work with us. But the price will always be too high. Now everybody knows this is number 7. So when number 7 plague hits, or miracle hits, or judgment hits, then you might think, I wonder what number 8 is if I say no. Does anybody remember what number 10 is? Stephen?
That was the rule of the firstborn.
That's right. Everybody in Egypt lost a son. Understand, the price gets higher and higher and higher when you and I say no to the will of God. Notice, if you would, in the outline. A, and when we know what God wants us to do, and we make a decision not to do it, we are considered to be stubborn before God. I want you to turn to Psalm 78. This is a tremendous verse to go with this passage. Psalm 78. Look with me, if you would. Verse number 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. This is why strong families are so important. But notice, verse 7. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. But learn, and I'm not here, learn the lessons of previous generations that were stubborn. Notice, but keep his commandments. Now follow, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. Now watch this. A generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast in God. So God calls us a stubborn heart when we don't set our heart upon the Lord. Why? Because we know God's richest blessings are there. And we're willing to accept less than God's best. So God says, why are you being stubborn? I want to bless you. Why don't you follow my will? Why is it you're being so stubborn? Notice in the phrase here, it says, that set not their heart aright. So we didn't choose to follow the will of the Lord, but then notice the next one, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. In other words, our spirit said, I want to be with the Lord. I want to walk with the Lord. So God says, when you and I don't choose to walk with him, we're being stubborn. Notice in the outline, A, we make a decision not to do it. When God, we know God wants us to do something. To witness to somebody at work. To be kind to somebody. To forgive somebody that doesn't deserve it. To be a blessing to somebody that doesn't deserve it. We have that sense in our heart and we don't do it. We're being stubborn. And it's going to cost us either A, a punishment, or B, a blessing. Notice the next sentence. B in the outline. A stubborn person always makes God angry. And misses God's richest blessings. Turn your Bible to Judges chapter 2. We'll close. Judges chapter 2. Notice with me if you would. Judges chapter 2. verse number 19. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down to their gods. They ceased not from their own doings, not the will of God, nor from their stubborn way. Verse 20, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So understand, this is why God gets angry with us when we make the decision, I don't want to do the Lord's will. You and your wife have a little difference of opinion and you say, I'm not going to forgive her. Or your husband, I'm not going to forgive him. When we do something, make a decision that we know is not right, A, it's going to cost us a great penalty, or B, it's going to cost us a great blessing. Somebody tell me what those Israelites that were stubborn on the way to Israel after they left Egypt, what did it cost them? The promised land. They didn't get to go in the promised land. And let me give you one more example. Do you realize that Moses didn't get to go in the promised land? The Lord said, when you rebelled against me at the waters of Meribah. You know what he did? He decided he was so upset with Israel, God's children, that instead of speaking to the rock, he strikes the rock with the rod. And the idea was that he would have to make God do it. He couldn't just say, Lord, would you bring forth water out of the rock? And then it says, must I fetch water out of this rock? Prideful, he did the will of God the wrong way. And the Lord said, because you did that, you can't go into the promised land. That was a punishment and a lost blessing. Tonight, could I challenge all of you? Make decisions that you know honor the Lord. So number one, you avoid these plagues, these things that happen to us. And number two, that you don't miss God's great blessings. God loves you. He wants to bless you. But we have to choose to do the will of God. Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Maybe you're here tonight and you're struggling with the decision. Could I ask you to please choose the will of God tonight? Don't be like Pharaoh. The story is there for a reason. It's for us to realize that God has great power. He can do anything. He can answer our prayers like he did Moses, Aaron. And he can bless us. At the end of the plagues, God blessed Egypt, blessed Israel. Egypt just gave them all their wealth and said, get out. God did all that to bless Israel. Tonight, what blessing are you missing? Good health? A favorable relationship? Don't miss the blessings of God. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight for your great goodness to us. Thank you for showing us mercy when we don't deserve it, like you did Egypt. Lord, help us to decide to do the right things in your sight. Now speak to hearts tonight, dear Lord. As we lift our prayers to you, would you please answer according to your will? In your name we pray.